those who said that I'd surely fall when I told them I'd give in Jesus my all. And I guess I really can't blame them for having their doubts, for they only knew what I used to be. But oh, what a difference the Lord made in me. What I got was real. Thanks God I'm still serving Him now.
Forever changed, I'm forever changed. All things are brand new, I tell you it's true. I'm not the same. When He changed the heart of me, He changed my eternal destiny. Old things passed away, thank God for the day my forever changed.
Now if this life was all that He promised to me, friend, I'd still choose to serve the Lord faithfully. But I cannot begin to imagine what He has in store. For once I was lost, I was headed for hell. But then I got saved, and now all is well. My forever began when I took the precious hand of Jesus, my Lord.
Forever changed, I'm forever changed. All things are brand new, I tell you it's true. I'm not the same. When He changed the heart of me, He changed my eternal destiny. Old things passed away, thank God for the day my forever changed. When He changed the heart of me, He changed my eternal destiny. Old things passed away, thank God for the day my forever changed.
All right, thank you, man. That was a blessing. Good, I enjoyed that. Very good. Ephesians chapter 4. Find that scripture. Really, it goes with the message I want to talk about a little bit tonight. Good to have the honeymooners in the service tonight. I'm not talking about Jackie Gleason either. I'm not talking about Jackie. But anyway, good to have Isaiah and Cherith here, newlyweds, for almost a month now, a month tomorrow. So, well-versed in marriage. And available for counsel, and so I'll tell you how to do it. All right, good to see them in the service tonight. You pray for them. They'll start on full-time deputation this September and headed out to the country of Panama. And we'll pray about supporting them to see if we want to take them on or not, okay, and it'll be a good investment or so. Let's stand together if you can, if you're able to stand. Ephesians 4, verse 20. We're going to look at several verses in chapter 4 tonight, but for sake of time, I'm only going to read two that kind of give you the theme of my message in verse 20. The Bible says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus." And that's not the end of the sentence. It continues. But I want to stop my reading there. And a couple weeks ago, I preached a message on the middleman out of the parable that Jesus gave about prayer. It was a very easy message to follow and listen to. This one will not be as easy as that tonight. Think a little bit with me. But I want to preach about the school of Christ. the school of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the privilege to meet on Sunday night. Thank you for the evening service at a local Baptist church. Thank you for the assembly here of these dear people. I pray that you'll help us now to come with a ready heart and a ready mind to receive your word. Spirit of God, would you fill me? Would you fill every one of us so that we can listen, so that we can hear what the Spirit would say to us tonight and challenge our hearts, Lord, please. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. The School of Christ. At the beginning of each calendar year, the 12th graders in our church are on the last lap of their high school years, coming down to just a few months before they walk across a platform somewhere and receive a diploma. And I enjoy sitting down with them, talking to them and listening to their plans for the future and talking with them about what's going on. They're always excited. I usually begin, I have several things that I discuss with each of them that are the same. I usually begin by saying something like, remember when you were in the sixth grade or the eighth grade and you thought to yourself, will this ever end? School, that is. Will it ever end? And it was just, I mean, it was just like it goes on. You think, my goodness, I'm only in the ninth grade and I got three more grades to go. And it was just, it seemed like it just drug on and drug on and drug on. And of course, now here you are. You're just a few months away from graduation and then college. And college was really the same way. It was like, oh my goodness, three more years, two more years. And then that last year, you know, and then graduation was tops. I mean, it was wonderful. I still have a picture we do at the house somewhere of my wife. She has a bigger smile on her face walking to get her diploma than she did on the day that we got married. I will tell you that. And that's true, isn't it? That's true. And but anyway, that's all right. So I was going to say something, but I won't. But anyway, now, she graduated because she married me. That's what it was. And so, you know, I told her. We were just getting started dating, and we were just, you know, getting started. And so, what are your plans? I came here to find a boyfriend, and I'm going to go home and work. I always figured the girl I married would graduate. And so, that changed her plans immediately. Amen. So, but anyway, she's glad she did. We had a great time. Our last year of college, we were married. It was great. I made the best grades. She did all my homework for me and everything. So it was good stuff, you know what I'm saying. But anyway, Paul has some news for us, those of us who are saved, those of us who are blood-bought, blood-washed, born into God's family. He's got some news for us in this passage. And that news is this. We are in school, where we should be, as a child of God. And the only way to graduate is to die or be raptured. Now, I'll say more about that later. So that means we are going to stay in school, or we should stay in this school until the day we graduate, and what a day that graduation day will be for the child of God. Now, we read tonight verses 20 and 21. Paul told them, look at them again. But ye have not so learned Christ. Notice the words here, learned. If so be, ye have heard him and have been taught by him. So we've got learning going on. You've got hearing going on. You've got teaching going on. Teaching, hearing, learning. I don't know about you, but that sounds like school to me. That's what school was. School was listening and learning and being taught and receiving it. And that's what it means. That's what school used to be, at least what it used to be, maybe with Common Core curriculum now. I don't know what's going on in schools, but that's what school used to be, listening, being taught, and learning. Now, by the way, Paul, when he says that here, he's not talking about a set of rules. He's talking about a person. He said in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you've been taught, you've heard him and have been taught by him. So we'll talk tonight on the school of Christ. People, we have far more than religion. We have far more than creed. Way more. We have a person. The person of Christ. And we need to stay enrolled in his school until graduation. So we'll look at two or three things. First of all, I want you to notice this school begins with Christ. It begins with Christ. Look at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. So he says to the church at Ephesus, to people who are saved, to people who are blood bought, blood washed, he says, you don't walk as other Gentiles. So there is a difference being discussed here. There was a difference, or there should be, between the people in the church at Ephesus and other Gentiles. A big difference. Now, what was that difference? Well, there's several things listed here. All of them a result of being saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Particularly talking here about justification, that moment in time when you and I, these Ephesian Christians, bow our head, trust the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, we're justified. Born into the family of God, God looks at us just as if we'd never sinned. And he said, because you've been justified, because you've been saved, you should walk differently than the other Gentiles, than the unsaved Gentiles. Notice what he says here about other Gentiles. In verse number 17, he said, we walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now, what's he mean by that? Well, if you don't turn there, but if you read over in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible tells us there that those who do not know God glorified Him not as God, and they became vain, listen, in their imaginations, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. They served and worshiped the creature, that which was created, more than the Creator. And Paul said, two different places, that is vanity of mind, emptiness of mind. Now, in modern day society, they call that education. They call that intellectualism. But Paul called it vanity. He called it emptiness. You've seen the old pictures of the idols, even those made by the American Indians here and their totem poles. And so many times those idols are sculpted pictures or replicas of birds or cattle or fish or some kind of beast, some kind of animal. You've seen them. And people worshiped and served the created animal, the created beast, the created fish, more than they worshiped the one who made the birds, the beast, and the fish. Today is the same way, except the idols today are more materialistic. Houses, lands, prestige, popularity, pleasure. All of those are more worshipped and more served than the Creator. Paul called that vanity of mind. The lost, the unsaved world, are encapsulated by the vanity of mind, worshiping and serving that which is created more than the Creator. That means, folks, you and I are different. As God's children, we should worship and serve the Creator more than that which is created. But that's not all he said. He went on to say they had their understanding darkened. Look at verse number 18. Having the understanding darkened. Now, what does he mean by that? I know I've said this several times lately, but I guess it's just because it's so much in our society right now. How do you explain abortion? How do you explain that? You know, I'm reading a book of the Supreme Court right now it's called The Supreme Conflict, and it's about William Rehnquist, the years that he was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and all that went into, and you know how many justices were appointed by conservative presidents that turned out to be liberal in their ruling. And the one case that is above all others has affected so many different cases in front of the Supreme Court is Roe v. Wade. Just over and over and over again, the things that maybe you and I don't hear about. I read about some cases that I was not familiar with. How do you explain a woman killing her child? That's dark. You understand that? That's dark. Do you see? Are you reading it all? Are you looking? Are you seeing what's happening in our country as these people are passionate in defending their opportunity to kill their baby? It's dark. That's what he's talking about here, having the understanding darkened. How do you explain sodomy? Two barnyard animals don't behave like that. How do you explain that? And the vehemence with which these people push their agenda. And not just push it for themselves, push it on you. Push it on me. Push it on the children of this country. How do you explain that? That's called dark. Dark. Darkness permeating their understanding. How do you explain this child abuse? I mean, get past the abortion thing and actually give birth to the child. And then, how do you explain that? Treat these children horribly. Starve them? Burn them with cigarette butts? Chain them up in the basement? That's dark. That's horribly dark. And those of you young people who sometimes push against, you know, the things that mom and dad are trying to teach you and push against going to church all the time, you better be grateful, friend. You have no idea what you would be exposed to if you weren't brought up in a house, a home, a church, a school that gave you that attempted to give you clarity about God, His Word, His way. It's a dark, 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 dark world out there. Dark world. Dark world. Dark. 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 So he describes them as having their understanding darkened. And then, carrying on in verse number 18, he said that they were alienated from the life of God. Alienated. Look at that. Look at the terminology, folks. This is all about people who are not saved. Now, what is the life of God? Well, you know what the life of God is? The life of God is eternal life. The life of God is abundant life. The life of God is rewarding life. And the Bible says, Paul said that these other Gentiles, unsaved people, were alienated. They were estranged. They were strangers to the life of God. And then he goes on to say in verse number 19, they're past feeling and have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. The word is lawlessness. Irregular development of animal desires. That's what the word means. Irregular development of animal desires. So this is how Paul describes the unsaved world, the Gentile world that was not saved, had not come to Christ. And that's how the Ephesian Christians used to be until they enrolled in the school of Christ by trusting in His death, burial, and resurrection for their salvation. And immediately they were justified and saved from vanity of mind, darkened understanding, being alienated from the life of God, given over to lasciviousness. We're hopefully saved, should be, from all of those type things. Through Christ, we have the life of God. We have enrolled in the school of Christ upon our salvation. So I guess the question tonight, before I move to the point, next point, is this. Are you enrolled in this school? Are you saved? Say, it's Sunday night. I know it's Sunday night. But that doesn't mean a thing. And it doesn't mean a thing that we're all church-going people here. It doesn't mean a thing. Because that doesn't make you saved. And professing saved people who have no appetite for God concern me. No appetite for spiritual things. You're either badly sick spiritually or you're dead. I've used the illustration before. You can bring a casket in here with a body in it, a lifeless body. You could wheel in a cart with a 16-ounce ribeye steak and a loaded baked potato and some green beans with bacon and so forth and a nice piece of chocolate meringue pie and some iced tea in a glass, and the person in that casket wouldn't even notice. Have no interest because they're dead. People have no interest. No interest, no appetites for spiritual things. You just have to wonder, are you alive in Christ? Are you saved? And if you're not, my friend, good grief. Take care of that. Get that matter settled, okay? Get enrolled in the school of Christ. The school of Christ begins with Christ. Hey, it doesn't begin with baptism. It doesn't begin with church membership. It doesn't begin with your Christian dad and mom. It begins with you. Having a run-on collision with the Holy Spirit of God, being convicted of your sin, and then trusting in the finished work of Christ. That's how you get enrolled in the school of Christ. So the school begins with Christ. The second point, the one I really want to emphasize tonight, is this school continues with Christ. Now look at verse 20 and 21. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. And then beginning in verse 22, through the end of the chapter here, He gives a description of how going and growing and advancing in this school, the things that it does for us. After enrolling in the school of Christ by trusting Him as Savior, school continues and we move now from the school of justification to the school of sanctification. And that's what verses 22 through 32 are all about. And people, this is my heart tonight. This growing in this school is not a matter of living by rules. It's a matter of Christ being developed in our life. Growing in Christ. Listen, I wrote this statement. Sanctification isn't any more the result of a set of rules as justification is the result of a set of rules. You can't get justified by keeping rules. You get justified by faith, trusting Christ. You can't get sanctified by keeping rules. You get sanctified by growing in the school of Christ. It's Christ being formed in us, not a rule book. Christ. And you look at the things that are mentioned in this passage, beginning in verse number 25 and going forward here, he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. So in this school of Christ, as we're growing and advancing and getting promoted in this school of Christ, we're telling the truth. We're not lying. We have the right kind of anger. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. It's not a smoldering, lingering anger. In verse 27, we're not giving place to the devil. In verse number 28, we're not stealing. We're being honest. We're working hard. In verse number 29 and so forth, we're being generous. We're being careful with the words that we use. We don't want to be bitter and full of wrath and anger. Verse 31, do you know what this is, folks? This is advancing. You enroll in the school of Christ by justification through faith in Jesus at kindergarten, and then you and I are supposed to advance. First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. This is advancing in the school of Christ. This is being taught and learning about Christ and how Christ's life is formed in us. And it doesn't happen by a set of rules. Now, look, how would this change your life? How would this change a marriage? All those things that we just talked about, all those things that Paul put in here from verse 25 and forward, how would that change a marriage? You know what the answer to marriage trouble is in a Christian life? It's growing in Christ. It's Christ. How does this change a home? And the problems in a home, those things are done by growing in Christ. How would this change an employee? I mean, can you understand what a difference it makes to grow into kindness as opposed to bitterness and wrath? To grow into being tender-hearted instead of full of anger and clamor. to advance with forgiveness instead of malice. That's what Paul's talking about here, and it doesn't happen by a rule book. It happens as we are taught and learn of Jesus Christ. It happens, as he says in verse number 22, he says here, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, verse 24, put on the new man. Put off the old man, put on the new man, die to the old self, live unto Christ. And the sanctified life is achieved by living less and less like self and more like Jesus Christ. And I think Baptists, if we're not careful, too many of us have sanctification tied to a set of rules. And listen, rules are okay and rules are helpful and we need rules. But if I am growing in the school of Christ, it's more than rules. It's Christ's life being developed and lived in me and through me. That's the school we're in. God didn't just save us as a fire escape from hell. We enrolled in the school of Christ. It begins with Christ by trusting in Christ. And then people, we are to continue to grow in Christ. In Jesus. The truth of the matter is, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says at the end of verse number 24, put on the new man which after God has created in righteousness and true. Isn't that an interesting statement he makes there? True holiness. True holiness. That's interesting. Does that mean that there's a false holiness? You know what the word true here means more than it means truth? It means sincere. You know what it means? Real. Real. People, when Jesus came, He did more than live by the rules. He lived, in fact, He raised the bar on the rules. You ever watch track and field pole vaulting? I used to watch I haven't watched it in years, but I used to like to watch pole vaulting. Man, they come running down that track and throw that pole in the ground. It bends like crazy, and then, and if they cross over without knocking the bar down, then they raise the bar, and here they come again. And if they get it the second time, they raise the bar. And the truth of the matter is, when Jesus came, He didn't live by the rules. He raised the bar on the rules. But listen, people, even then, Jesus didn't live by the rules. Those principles of holiness were in Jesus. They were real to Him. They were in Him. And this is what some are missing. Sanctification is His life being formed in us so that it is real with us. Men, it's not a rule book of godly behavior. It's godly behavior real in us. Real, sincere godliness, not relevant godliness. You know what relevant godliness is? Relevant godliness is living by the rule book while you're at church. Relevant godliness is living by the rule book when you're with other Christians. You know what real godliness is? It's 24/7. That's true holiness. That's true holiness. That's real holiness. Ladies, it's not a standard of modesty. It's modesty real in you. Sincere modesty is not the same as relevant modesty. Relevant modesty is dressing modest at church or when you're in the presence of other Christians on an activity. Real modesty is 24/7 because it's not a rule I'm living by. It's what I am. Does that make sense? It's what I am. It's what's being formed in me. It's what's being developed in me. It's real. It's sincere. It's not put on. It's not conformed. It's coming from within. Sincere modesty is not having to be told, hey, your skirt, pay attention to your skirt. Real modesty is, I don't want to even get close to that because that's not me. That makes sense to you? Real holiness, sincere holiness, is not asking what's wrong with it. Real holiness is asking, is this pleasing to Christ? Because that's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in a rule book. I'm interested in Christ being formed in me. Growing in the school of Christ. Now, look, don't take this message to me to be anti-rules and anti-standards. And No. Rules and standards are necessary. They're helpful as we seek to have the life of Christ developed in us. But folks, sanctification is more than a rule book published by a school. Sanctification is worked in us as we grow in Christ. It's not a book. It's Christ. It's the person of Christ. Look, think about Daniel. Daniel was taught, no doubt, Daniel was taught as a boy the rules. He had rules to live by as a boy. But people, by the time he got to Babylon, in Babylon, there were no rules. But by that time, Daniel had the rule in him. It was not a rule he was going to live by. It was real. It was sincere to him. I don't drink that. And it's, I don't drink it not because I have a rule book. I don't drink it because that's what I don't do. It's in me. I believe that. I want that. That's what I how I want to live. It's holiness. It's sanctification. It's being formed in us. It's growing in Christ. It's developing in Christ. It's going from first grade to third grade to fifth grade to ninth grade to tenth grade. And it's growing and grow. And the school of Christ is like any school here and here on earth. You know, in school you have tests to measure your progress. And there are times when Christ tests us. And there are times we fail the test. And we have to take the lesson again. And do the lesson again. Until we pass the test. Because I'm not trying to adhere by things typed in a manual off somebody's desktop computer. I'm trying to have the Holy Spirit develop the life of Christ in me. That's a difference. Do you see the difference in that? There's a big difference in that. So the school begins with Christ. As soon as you're saved, you're born into His family, born into God's family. You're justified. But it doesn't end there. Once you're enrolled in the school of Christ, man, there's the challenge of sanctification. And sanctification is not accomplished by the flesh any more than justification is accomplished by the flesh. It's the Spirit of God developing the life of Christ in us so that my malice and anger is replaced by tenderness. So that my ugly words are replaced by kindness. So that my grudging spirit is replaced by forgiveness. That's the life of Christ. That's not a rule book. That's the life of Christ in us. So the school continues with Christ. Number three. We are enrolled in this school until we graduate into Christ-likeness. I want you to look at verse number 30. Look at verse 30. Look what the Paul said here. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So verse 30 talks about the day of redemption. Now people, the day of redemption here is not the day of our justification. The day of our redemption here is not the day of our sanctification. You know what this is talking about? This is talking about the day of our glorification. When we will see Jesus and we will be made completely like Him, body, soul, and spirit. John put it this way in 1 John chapter 3, Beloved, now are we the sons of God right now? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Do you believe that? I believe that with all of my heart. That's as much a part of our salvation as being justified. It's as much a part of our salvation as becoming sanctified. It's glorified, changed into the very image of Jesus Christ. David put it this way in Psalm 17:15, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." One of these days, we're going to see Him. And when that happens, we're going to be like Him. So let me ask you a question. Are some of God's people going to be uncomfortable with what they are going to be? Say, what? People, if we are going to be like Christ someday, don't you think it probably be wise to get as close as we can now? And I say that, those words really wasn't, it's not as close as we can. Don't you think we ought to allow the Holy Spirit of God to take us from third grade to fifth grade, and fifth grade to seventh grade, and seventh grade to 11th grade? You don't want to be glorified from the third grade when you've been saved for years and years. Does that make sense? I'm struggling with how I'm putting all this tonight. But this school, Paul said, look, this thing of being saved, it's not about keeping a set of rules. It's about Christ. It begins with Christ. It continues with Christ. And it ends with Christ. One of these days, you're going to be like Christ. That's the fun part of a funeral. The fun part of a funeral is not reading through the obituary. It's not trying to comfort the family during the message. The fun part of the funeral is telling those who love the deceased and miss them, hey, one of these days, this mortal must put on immortality. This natural body is going to be raised a spiritual body. That change is going to happen. When Jesus comes and stops in the air, those folks buried 6 feet under the ground are coming up first. We which are alive and remain should be caught up together with Him in the air, but to forever be with the Lord. Now look, it's not about you and I running to a book. Okay, number 13A says that I'm supposed to do this, so this is what I'm going to do. That may be necessary starting out in the first grade, but by the time I've been saved for a few years, that ought to be me. That ought to be me. I shouldn't need a rule book about avoiding alcoholic beverages. That should be in me. Christ wouldn't do that. Since His life is being developed in me, that's not me either. I'm not doing that. And if Jesus, dying on the cross, could look at those who put Him there, humanly speaking, and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, I guess I shouldn't hold a grudge against my spouse. That's not Christ. It's the Christ life. Christian, Christ-like. And I feel so convicted standing up here even preaching this to you because I live with me. I know where I struggle. I know that in many areas, or at least some areas of the Christian life, I have taken tests and failed and failed and failed. If one of the areas I fail in and am still failing in is patience. And I feel like God keeps bringing me to things to test my patience. And I fail, but I'm in the school. And I want that to be built into me. I want that to be developed in me. I want to grow into the patience of Christ. I don't need a rule book to tell me to be ye therefore patient. If Christ is developed in me, patient wills is what I will be. It's Christ in me. You and I should be advancing in the school of Christ. You get into that school by trusting Christ. You advance in that school by Christ being formed in you until the day comes when you graduate and you become like Him. Body, soul, and spirit. How's it going in the school of Christ? Are you failing tests? Are you running to a rule book to see what you can and can't do? Or is that being developed in you where you don't need a rule book? Because Christ is being lived in you. That's a real challenge, Christian. That's a real challenge. May God help us to pass the test and advance in the school of Christ until the day comes that we see Him and become like Him completely. What a day that will be. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. I feel so convicted even preaching this message tonight. I want to hang my head. There are so many times I get frustrated with my lack of advancement. So many times I get frustrated, Lord, with my lack of passing the tests. And I confess to You tonight that in many ways I have simply failed. But Lord, I yield myself to Your Spirit and I ask that the Spirit of God may develop the life of Christ in me. And I pray that, Lord, people will sit and listen tonight, that the Spirit of God may turn and churn in their thinking and in their heart. Lord, look at their life and examine it and so desire and so hunger to learn and be taught of Christ so that we can advance in this school until the day comes that we see Him and are made like Him. Help us to stay on the receiving end of instruction taught by the Holy Spirit. Help us to stay on the learning end of sanctification, to pass the test. Develop the life of Christ in us is my prayer. In me, in the hearts of these dear people. We thank You, dear God, for what Jesus did for us through His death, burial, and resurrection. Now help us to have a response of gratitude by advancing in this school. And I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder tonight, is that your heart? Is that the desire in your heart to have the life of Christ built in you, developed in you? Thank God for justification if you're saved. Thank God. But it doesn't end there, folks. Don't get stuck in first grade. Let the life of Christ be developed in you as you advance until the day comes you see the Lord. How many say, Pastor, there's some work that needs to be done. I can't do it. The Spirit of God must do it. But there's some work that needs to be done. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air tonight? Christ formed in me. Let me ask this question. Would there be anybody here, Pastor, I'm not saved. I have no appetite for God, no appetite for the things of God. I'm lost without Christ here tonight. Anybody like that tonight? If you need to be saved, now's the time. If you need to be baptized, you obey Christ. But let's stay in the school and let's advance and make progress as Christ is lived in us. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the ladies are playing a song of invitation. You come.